This week's mailbag comes from Betsy. She writes, "With my Sunday basket, I know now where all my paper is. Whether it's a school form or a bill, if action needs to be taken on it, it's in the Sunday basket. Using Lisa's methods, I have organized all of my family's paper and my mom's paper. It relieves so much stress to know your paper is under control. Thanks, Lisa. Using Lisa Woodruff's Organized 365 100 Day program, I have gotten my house under control. When my son was going off to college, I knew it was time to declutter and organize. Using Lisa's system was life-changing. As I got my house organized, my business fell in line as well. Because my home is organized, I now have more time to work on my business." Thanks for writing in, Betsy. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We'd love to hear about it. Send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and let us know how you've changed your life and your home with Organized 365. Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Today, I'm going to share with you how I am now chunking my week Monday through Thursday and Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So normally, I guess I have struggled my entire adult life, like from graduation of college until today, with the idea of balance. Balancing my work, my family, my husband, with my kids, housework, with other work, free time for me, like this whole idea of balance has really honestly probably set me back more than anything else. Just trying to do and be everything to everyone at all times has really messed me up as a woman, if you ask me. I just feel like, personally, I feel like as a woman, I am supposed to be a good cook, a good nurturer, there for my kids at all of their different events, a great spouse, a party planner, you know, in charge of all the holidays, any home improvements. Like, it just seems like it all ends up on my to-do list. Now, I can always delegate it out to my spouse or my kids or somebody that's going to help us, but it all flows through me. And I don't want to say that everyone feels that way, but I talk to a lot of women that feel the same way. And for a long time, I just told myself that I was not a working woman and that I was a homeowner. And upon reflection, it's probably not true. But when I said that, what I was really saying is my home and my children are my priority. And I feel like I had to make that distinction. Like, either I was a home mom and my focus and my priority was on my children, or I was a working mom, which meant that I valued work over children. Again, I'm not judging or saying that everyone feels this way. I'm just saying how I felt as a woman. Now, as I've said many times, I'm 46 years old. I'm Generation X. I think how you feel about work, home, and balance and all of these things is very generational. I think that each generation feels differently about it. And to be honest, I wish I was a millennial. The millennials seem to have this thing down, and they do primary parenting. They call it primary parenting, and they keep switching back and forth who's the primary parent. And it might be, and they do seasons where the man might be the primary parent during the child, you know, the young child years, and the woman goes off to work. And then the woman may be the primary parent during the elementary years, and the man goes off and does a more traditional job, or they just share it all. Like, it's a very sharing concept. Gen Xers did not grow up this way. Maybe you did. I didn't. And most of my friends didn't either. And so this whole idea of the house caretaking role usually fell on the woman, as did all the other things that I've mentioned. So, because this is my mindset about it, and because I love working and I'm an entrepreneur and I've always been entrepreneurial, I would hide my entrepreneurialism in things that I thought were acceptable work outlets for me as a quote-unquote stay-at-home mom. So I would be in direct sales, but I ran it like a full-time business. Or I would be a housekeeper or a tutor or I did people's laundry. Like I did anything domestic for an income, but I still felt like I was being a housewife because it was all domestic stuff that I was doing. Oh boy. I'm telling you all of this because I know that I'm not alone. I know I'm not the only one that thinks this way. And I want you to have a full framework of where I'm coming from when I tell you how I'm going to divide up my week going forward. I love working. And I felt in my 20s and 30s that if I said I loved working, that meant I didn't love being a mom or a homeowner or a wife. And that I had to choose. I don't think it's true. I think it's just what I personally perceived and thought. And the more I get into Organize 365 and I found the thing that really makes my heart sing that I feel I was uniquely created to do, the more I want to do it all the time. And as an entrepreneur, I was able to put in a lot of hours into my business because, quote unquote, I was getting started, or no one else could do it yet, or I didn't have a team. And I used a lot of these excuses to get me more of what I wanted, which was time to work. And now that the business is a little bit more mature, it's starting to level off, we definitely have a team, I've been reflecting this summer on my thoughts about all of these things, about being a mother, especially as my children are getting older. We just decided last week to homeschool Abby. That'll be on a future podcast. Joey just went off to college. We've decided not to move, so we're going to stay in our house. You know, some of these decisions that have happened in the last couple months really have changed how I'm looking at my time going forward. I'm also in this coaching program called Strategic Coach, and in Strategic Coach, they teach you to divide your days into three kinds of days, which are focus days, buffer days, and free days. And I have a really hard time with this whole free day concept because, and I do think this is a woman thing as well, I don't compartmentalize as much as the men I know, like home, family, work, personal time. It all kind of flows together. It isn't very delineated out. And actually, my assignment was to take free days before I go back to my next strategic coach meeting in like 2 weeks. And I've been terrible at it. Like I've been horrible at it because like, what is a free day? How do I get a free day? Like, so I use my free day where I'm not working, but then I do yard work and laundry and take Joey to college. Well, that's not really free. That's doing housework and parenting. Like, I guess I was confusing free days with vacation days. And because I love my job, it's not arduous for me to be at my job. It's not really like it's not a free day. Like I actually, if you give me a free day, I probably would want to work. So you could see all these internal struggles that I have going on. Now I bring all that up because I have tried for so long to balance my life, a certain amount of housework, a certain amount of, you know, home parenting, a certain amount of spouse work, a certain amount of work time. And what I find is that I really am more of a marathoner than a sprinter. Like a sprinter would maybe do a load of laundry and then do dishes and then play Play-Doh with the kids and then go do 30 minutes of work and then go, you know, see they're sprinting around from one thing to the next. I know a lot of people aren't like this, although I think there are more of us than we acknowledge. I can literally sit down at my computer at 8 a.m. and get up for snacks and bathroom only until 6 p.m. or even later and solidly work on my business. I don't get tired. I don't need to have breaks every 50 minutes. I could just power through. I can just work for a long time. Likewise, I can do the same with my house. Like if I have a big project, I can get up on a Saturday morning. I might not get up and get ready until 9, make a coffee and be in the yard for 5 hours straight, or go in the basement and tackle it for 6 hours, or you know, spend a whole day with Joey shopping for college, getting everything ready, taking everything out of the package, labeling it, packing it in the car, moving it up. Like I don't mind doing the same thing all day long. So knowing that that's how I am, and also maybe it's because I'm an extrovert, I'm not really sure, but whenever I get in any project, I get more energy as I'm doing the project. So if I know that I only have 30 minutes to read a book, like I'm reading a book, but I'm watching the clock, when is my 30 minutes up? If I know I can read the book as long as I want, like I just read until I'm done reading. Sometimes that's 30 minutes, sometimes it's 2 hours. You know, if the book is really good, I'm really trying to find more reading time. So I've been thinking about this a lot. And when you, like me, want to spend large amount of time, chunks of time on things, it's hard to find those large chunks of times. So a couple of things happen. One, you either never get the project started because you don't feel like you have a big enough chunk of time to work on it. Two, you start it and you try to squeeze it in the nooks and crannies, but it really frustrates you. Or three, you just divide everything up because you think that's how it's supposed to be. Like you're supposed to work out 3 times a week and make meals 3 times a day and do 1 load of laundry a day and spend 30 minutes with each child each day. And so because you have all these things on your to-do list to do, you create this like school calendar where every 45 minutes to an hour, you're switching from one task to the next to make sure you get all your subjects done. You see what I'm saying? So what I also know is when I get into a project that I want to do, like a really good book or reading a story or something like that, I don't like to stop. And often on the weekends, I will give myself the permission, if the book is really good, not to stop and go change the laundry and do that later. And I'm constantly deferring and pushing tasks off so that I can enjoy more of my free time or whatever it is. So I started thinking about this more. And because I do work from home and now we're homeschooling, my schedule is pretty much 100% at my discretion. And I remember when the kids were little and I realized I was like this, I scheduled my workday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. I had a nanny for the kids. She took them on field trips and she did all the meals that day, so I didn't have to worry about any meals. And I would go in the basement from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and I would work solid. And then my assistant would work 5 hours the next day. And then I would work my business in the nooks and crannies for the other 6 days. I did not enjoy working my business in the nooks and crannies all the time. I needed one of these big solid blocks of time. I've always been this way. But when I start on a project, I don't want to stop. So if I work Monday through Friday, the odds of me stopping work at 4 o'clock on Friday are low because I always want to get one more thing done, one more thing done, one more thing done. Reading the book by Laura Vanderkam a long time ago called 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think, had me change the way I look at my week in general. I know that I don't have 7 days and 7 nights. I know that I have 168 total hours and I can do whatever I want with those hours. When I first made that revelation, probably at least 3 years ago, whenever that book came out is when I got it, but it was at least 3 years ago when I first read that book, I realized that I had been living my life with a 9-to-5 mentality, even though I don't work a 9-to-5 job. So I was viewing the time from 9-to-5 or 8-to-3 whenever the kids were in school as my work day. And then from 3 to 8 or 9 or 10, or whenever we went to bed, from 3 in the afternoon until 10, when the kids got out of school, as our evening hours, like our family time. And at that time, I had middle school and high school kids who, A, don't really need or want parents around all the time. And my kids aren't involved in sports. So it wasn't like there were a bunch of sporting activities to go to. So mentally, I was trying to stop myself from working at 3 o'clock because the kids were home. And in my mind, a good mother would be with her kids. But because I had this mentality of working in the nooks and crannies, anytime there was a spare minute, I would grab it to do a work task. Oh my gosh, talking to you guys about this makes me realize how crazy I am. All right, so this is what I would do. I would do all of my big hard tasks from 8 to 3 or any errands I needed to run. I would get the kids. We would be home around 4. Obviously, they did not need me at all. And we ate dinner with Greg like around 6. So from 4 to 5:30 when Greg got home, I would try to do a little bit more work. But my mindset with doing that work was, I'm going to try to get some extra time here because if the kids need me, I'm available. If I need to do something else, I'm available. But this is found nook and cranny time. Like if you're an entrepreneur, this is how they teach you to run a business when you have babies. Like you do it in their nap times and anytime you have a nook and cranny. And so for the last 16 years, I've been trying to find nooks and crannies of work time even though I have 30 hours of work time during the regular school and work day when nobody is here. So then Greg would come home at 5:30 and I would say, oh, I'll be down in a minute. I'm just going to finish one more thing. So I'd come down around 6 instead of 5:30. So I got another half an hour there. Then we'd be together from 6 to 7 or 7:30. And then again, evening, adult people, they don't really need, like, we aren't all sitting around a campfire or anything. So everybody would go their separate way. Oh, that's a nook and cranny. So 7:30, nook and cranny, I'll do just a little bit more work. So I would sit down to just do 30 minutes of email. Next thing you know, it'd be 9 or 10 o'clock at night and I was done. If you have added up that time, it means that I was working more than a full-time day because I was putting in my shortened school day and then all the nook and cranny time I could find. And it got worse than that, you guys. Not only would I do that Monday through Friday, usually almost always Friday night, I'm kind of like, you know, hang out with Greg on the back deck or whatever. I don't usually work on Friday night. But then I would get up on Saturday morning and I would look at my Saturday and Sunday and I would, oh my gosh, this is so bad. I can't believe I'm telling you this. I would look at the calendar and this is up until this weekend, you guys. And I would figure out when are the kids working? When is Greg going to cut the grass? When is Greg going to go to the grocery store? And anytime they left the house, anytime, I'd be like, nook and cranny time, boom, right back to the computer. And I would go back to work. And I literally, whenever the family does not need me, I'm working. Always. All the time. And this cycle started so slowly, I didn't really realize it. I'll tell you another thing I didn't realize. My kids have anxiety. And so when they were little, they would not stay in their bedrooms unless we were upstairs, like in our bedroom. If I wasn't in my bedroom, my kids wouldn't stay in their bedrooms. Because it used to be, I started thinking about, why am I always in my bedroom? Like I literally spend 95% of my time in my bedroom. Why is that? This is not normal. Other people do not do this, Lisa. Why do you do this? And I realized it 6 months ago. My kids would not stay in, they wouldn't even come upstairs to play in their bedrooms, which you know I have all their toys in their bedrooms, if we were downstairs. So I started moving everything up into my bedroom. My puzzle was in there, my scrapbooking was in there, my computer was in there, everything. And I don't have a gigantic bedroom, but I don't have a small bedroom. I mean, it's like 16 by 16. It's a nice size room. It's enough to have all of this stuff in here. And so I would, during the day while they were at school, when they were little, I would work in the kitchen on my gorgeous kitchen countertops. And then as soon as we had dinner and went upstairs for baths, I would go up for the night and I would carry up with me any projects that I wanted to do until we went to bed around 10 or 11 and the kids went to bed around between 8 and 8:30. So I would bring up reading or scrapbooking or needlepoint or whatever. And I started this 16 years ago. Well, the kids' anxiety lasted years and years and years. Like, I remember after a couple of years of doing this, I tried to go back downstairs and it didn't work. They wanted me on the same floor that they were on. So I just resigned myself to it. You guys know me. And I totally redid my bedroom. So it really was a condo. It's part of why it's a condo. I kind of was like trapped in here like Rapunzel's Tower. I have a TV. I have a TiVo. It was at this time I was one of the very first TiVo purchasers ever. And I would record my shows and then I had this headset. I would listen like, you know, like when you're in a minivan and you're listening to the movie on the headset. Those are wireless headsets. Well, you can, I figured out how to do that in my bedroom. So in my bedroom, I could be listening to whatever show I wanted. It could have inappropriate content on it because nobody could hear it except for me. It was quiet. The kids were sleeping. I was watching whatever I wanted. And if the kids came in and needed me, I could pause my show. Otherwise, I'd get mad that they interrupted my show. So I could pause my show. I could be a great parent. I could go back. I could unpause it. And I mean, I just, there are pictures where I was, when I did that 21 albums for that lady who had a, politician as a husband, I did all of that in my bedroom. I scrapbooked 21 albums in my bedroom, start to finish. Like there were photos everywhere. This is not normal. I don't think there is a normal, but this is not normal. I realized this about 6 months ago. I was like, oh my gosh, nobody else is in their bedroom like this. People are like, you have to move your office. You have to move all these things. And I really started thinking about it. I'm like, I love it now. Like for 16 years, I've been in this condo. I don't really want to move out of my condo. How do I go back to normal adult living? These are the patterns that we set up in our 20s that we literally, if we don't move, like if I moved houses, I might change some of these patterns, right? But because I have not moved my house, these patterns that I set out when my kids were babies have just stuck with me all this time. And I just continue to do them. Some are coping mechanisms, whatever, but I'm telling you how I am today, a 46-year-old woman trapped in her bedroom, working every single spare moment that she has. And I hope in just this conversation alone, you could think about how you are going through your week. So a couple years ago, when I heard Laura Vanderkam say you have 168 hours, you have more time than you think, in that book, she basically explained that if you work 9 to 5, which is 40 hours a week, you still have 128 hours. And my mind was blown. I was like, you still have 128 hours. Like, so she calculated if you sleep 8 hours a night, which nobody does, that's 56 hours. Okay, now you still have, I don't know how many hours, but it's the equivalent of more than a full-time job. I was like, oh my gosh, this is how people have 2 full-time jobs and still sleep, is because there is enough time for that. We waste so much time. Or in my case, we work twice as hard on our job because we find the time and we're trying to steal it away. So that revelation that you have plenty of time, and I realized that from the time Greg got home at 5 o'clock at night until we went to bed between 10 and 11, when I started seeing that as a 5 to 6 hour block of time, I got so frustrated with how it was being frittered away. You know, an hour of a TV and then an hour of dishes and then another couple hours of TV. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much wasted time. Like, I'm a productivity nut. This 25 hours we can use all this time. Ah, there's so much time. Or when I thought about Saturdays, I thought, okay, well, if I get up at like 8 or 9 and I work until like 5, that's like a full work day on my house or on a volunteer project or whatever I want to do. Like, there's so much time. And all I was hearing from all the media and everybody else was, I don't have time, I'm too busy, there's not enough time, not enough time, not enough time. And I realized after reading that book, there's plenty of time. There is plenty of time. It's just how we are organizing our time. Now, I know some of you have little kids. When you have little kids, there's not enough time. But as your kids start to age, we really have more control over time than we think. I am addicted to working. I do not have good boundaries on my working because I love Organize 365 and everything that's related to it. And now my team is super excited too, and they know where the business is going. And I have this even more energy because I know that their paycheck is dependent on Organize 365 doing well. And they have visions that they want to see Organize 365 do in the future as well. And it's an actual corporation that's beyond me now, which is super fun, but brings additional responsibilities. So as I was planning the 100-day home organization planner, and we were redesigning it, we pulled the weekly checklist off the page, which meant that Monday through Friday was going to be crammed over on the left-hand side. And then we had all this space for Saturday and Sunday in our weekly planning sheet. And I was looking at it and I was thinking about it in May. And I said, you know, Laura Vanderkam says that from Monday morning at 8 a.m. through Thursday night at 8 p.m. is half of your week. And then from Thursday at 8 p.m. until Monday morning at 8 a.m. is another half of a week. So Thursday at 8 p.m., if you start at 8 a.m. Monday morning, is your halfway point. We often think of Wednesday as the halfway point because it's halfway through the work week, or you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday is your weekend, and then the work week. But when I really thought about that being the true halfway point of hours, the amount of hours, and I thought about that, I thought, okay, here are some of the things I thought. Well, it doesn't look like the halfway point because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is 4 daytime days and 3 nighttime days. Whereas Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night is 4 nighttime nights and 3 daytime days. So it doesn't seem like half because you have more sleeping hours on the weekend half and more working hours on the work week half, which actually could work to my benefit. And I thought, well, I wonder if because clearly this nooks and cranny thing has got to go. Like, pretty soon all of it's going to be nooks and crannies. My kids are going to be graduated from high school, and like all of my time is going to be at my discretion to design whatever life I want. Am I just going to work every single second that I'm awake and not eating? Like, no, this has to stop. Like, this work has to get corralled into some kind of a container. So I thought, well, I'll let myself do my natural work and work in my nooks and crannies Monday through Thursday. But then that means Friday, Saturday, Sunday is all free time. Let me explain. I have tried not to check my email at night or not to do any work at night during the week. And it is more effort for me not to work than to work. Maybe this will change in the future. But I do have a team and they send emails. And if they send an email at, 5:30 on Friday, I kind of want to answer Friday night. I mean, on Monday, I want to answer Monday night, not, at 10:30 on Tuesday, because maybe they're working at night. Everybody on my team sets their own hours. So we're not all in the office working at the same time. Also, like I said, when I'm doing a big project, I really want to get into it. Like, I want to spread it all out and do all the rabbit trailing that I do. And sometimes I'll go sit outside with the dog and think about things and then come back in. And I have this whole process that I do. So I want to really be able to go through my whole process. So I thought, well, if I let myself do what I do Monday morning through Thursday night, could I conceivably turn it off on Thursday night and spend Friday, Saturday, Sunday on parenting, marriage, house, and all of those other things? Would I be able to do that? And then I decided to homeschool, which is taking so much time. But I am still committed to trying this new way of thinking, that I do the majority of my organized 365 work on Monday through Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, my focus is on my family, my house, and my personal self. Now, I have given myself the caveat that I can do networking on Friday mornings, or things that I can't get scheduled into the week, but for the most part, I'm done working Friday usually around 11 or 12, and it doesn't mean I won't check email one more time, but I've moved on into my family life, and I've been doing this for a couple of weeks now, and here's what I've noticed. First of all, my time with Greg is much better because I have more time. I'm not worried about what's in the email inbox. I'm not worried about what programs that I'm working on or when I'm going to get my next work time in. I'm able to just, sit and enjoy our conversation, enjoy our dog, plan what we're going to do for the weekend, all of those things. Then I'm also able to really think about my house. I love doing household projects, yard projects, all of those kinds of things. And so I actually am starting to get excited about planning big household projects. Just like there's this garden we have, and we were sitting out back, and I said to Greg, I said, we are growing some really nice weeds out there. They've even flowered. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, see all those white flowers? He said, yeah. I said, those are weeds. He goes, they are not weeds. I said, they absolutely are weeds. I did not plant them, and they are weeds. They've just filled in the entire bed that he thinks that they're flowers. And so I made this plan. I'm like, okay, I want to rip that out and I want to replant it. Everything's in there is either transplanted or old or clearly weeds. And I didn't ever have a plan for that. I think new bushes. So I'm starting to dream about what I would like to do in my yard again. If you're an entrepreneur or you've been stuck on the hamster wheel for whatever reason, you realize that you may be dreaming about your kids, you may be dreaming about your business, but you've stopped dreaming about the things that you used to do. Like when I went to Strategic Coach, before I went there, I was like, well, I need to make a list of things I would even do on a free day because work has been the only thing I've been trying to fit into my schedule for about 16 years. So what would I even do? So I put down dance classes with Greg or training our dog or yard work or doing a puzzle. I've actually done two puzzles in the last 2 months, or watching different TV series, or reading a series of books. I had to really think about, if I couldn't work and the kids and husband are fine, what would I do with myself? Like, I couldn't even remember the things that I used to enjoy. So now when I think about my Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm thinking about, okay, what can I do with Abby? Last weekend, we went up and had lunch with Joey. What fun thing can Greg and I do this weekend? What does the house need? What does the yard need? And knowing that my business will be fine until Monday morning. Like, I do my Friday work box on Thursday afternoon, and then I do my networking on Friday morning, and pretty much for the rest of the time, my business will be fine. Now, I have Voxer. My team knows how to get a hold of me through text or whatever, and I do end up doing a little bit of work on the weekend, but I'm not looking for where can I find my pockets of work anymore. I'm pushing all of my work to Monday through Thursday, and I'm working long hours on those days. I'm not just working 9 to 5. I am working, 8 to 5, and then again, 7 to probably 9 or sometimes 10, just because that's how I want to grow my business. So, long rabbit traily podcast, as you expect from me. But I really wanted to give you the mindset behind why I'm trying this new calendar. And even for Abby's homeschool, like, we're homeschooling Monday through Thursday. Like, we're not planning homeschooling on Friday. Now, we've already done things on Fridays and Saturdays that are more like field trips, but we're not doing math assignments, reading assignments, those kinds of things on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. She's focusing more on work and field trip type things on those times. So what do you think about this idea? If you're working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, even if you're working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, I have always noticed in my work week, I work hot and heavy on Monday with new projects. And by the end of the week, I'm doing more cleanup and networking and just touching base and making sure everybody has what they need for the next week. Just that whole idea of the bulk of your work being done Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and more the follow-up and prep being done Thursday, Friday will put a new flow into your work week, even if you're not in charge of the hours that you have. Okay, I would love to hear how many of you are trying this. If you're in the 100-day home organization program, which you can join at any time, by the way, our planner is set up this way. So you see Monday through Thursday, and there's a bookmark in there that has your to-dos and your goals. And then when you turn your bookmark over, because it's attached to the planner, you see your weekend of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you have your Sunday basket checklist on the back of the planner. So even the way the planner is set up to divide your week in half from work and home. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about this. In 6.5 years, Organize 365 has grown from a little idea in my brain to an actual corporation. Over that time, we've had blog posts and podcasts and free courses and paid courses and courses that go with each other. All of that has been streamlined, organized, and put onto a new website, organize365.com. All of the past free and paid courses have been organized into the All Access program. All Access is a combination of the 100-day home organization program and all of the paper organization offerings that I have. There are 3 components to All Access: the 100-day home organization program, the complete paper organization program, and then All Access courses and bonuses. Let me explain each one. The 100-day home organization program has launched 7 times, and we've had over 1,000 people get their homes organized using the 100-day home organization program. It has been streamlined into 3 components, the first of which is an online membership site that works from your phone and can track your progress. It's amazing. And this summer, I re-recorded every single video in the program, and we added about 20 new days. With that program, when you first purchase, you will get a planner. The planner is only designed to take you through one 100-day cycle. It's 120 days of planning, and the program is actually printed in the planner. So the day you're supposed to be doing the program is printed in the planner. Additionally, in the planner, we have added new printables for every single week. They are not available online. They are only in the planner. So for the planning your kitchen week, there's a 2-page spread in the planner about how to plan your kitchen. There's a 2-page spread about how you track your spices. When you go through your closet, there's a 2-page spread about how to decide which clothes are best in this season. And as you keep your planners, you will do your clothing all 3 seasons and you'll be able to see your clothing through the planner. So there is a planner. Every other season, you can buy a planner for $47 for one planner or $127 for 3 planners, and they're shipped out every 100 days. Then the last piece of the 100-day home organization program is the private Facebook group, where you can encourage your friends, share pictures, get input from each other, say you're having a bad day, say you're having a great day, and everyone will support and encourage you. And then once a week, Lisa comes on for 30 minutes and answers your pre-submitted questions in a Facebook Live. That is the 100-day home organization program. You could buy it independently or you could buy it as part of All Access. And as of today, you can buy it whenever you find the program. So there is nothing more frustrating than on November 2nd, realizing you want to get organized and you have to wait until January to order a program. So you may be asking, well, if a planner is included and I join in November, what planner will I get? We have undated planners. So after the 100-day program starts on Labor Day, starting September 11th, we will send out an undated planner until December. And then in December, we will start sending out the dated planner for January again. And all of this is on the website. The second part is the complete paper program. This was also called the Sunday Basket Club. You'll hear me calling it the Sunday Basket Club. The Complete Paper Program is everything you need to get your paper organized, and this is what Organize 365 has been developing over the last 18 months. Over the last 18 months, we have gone from the concept of a Sunday basket to a physical Sunday basket with workshops, with certified organizers, and physical binders that help you eliminate your filing cabinet. So in the Complete Paper Program, you get the complete Sunday basket, the physical Sunday basket, and the workshops that go with it. All four of the household binders shipped to your door, and the Sunday Basket Club. The Sunday Basket Club is our private Facebook group for people who are going through and organizing their paper. And people who are going through and organizing their paper actually get two live events almost every week. So every single Sunday, for 90 minutes, there is a Facebook Live led by a professional organizer. So it's like virtual class where you could do your Sunday basket every single week with a professional organizer. That way, if you have a question or you're stuck or you'd like input on your Sunday basket, you can ask those questions and they will give you real-time answers. Also, twice a month, I go into that Facebook group and I do a Facebook Live and I answer pre-submitted paper organizing questions. If you were in the 100-day program before, there used to be a little bit of paper organizing in there. We had a whole paper organizing week. That has been moved out, and that is now part of the paper organizing class. So you may ask, what's the difference? The 100-day home organization program focuses on the physical spaces in your home. The complete paper organization course focuses on getting all of your paper organized from your Sunday basket all the way to your filing cabinet. Each of these programs are purchased individually for $497, and you get everything that's in that program for $497. If you buy both programs as All Access, or you already have one of these programs and you buy the other one, you will be upgraded to All Access. Well, what is All Access? All Access is some of the previously free courses that I had are now only in the dashboard under All Access, the most popular of which are the email organizing course and the From Hot Messroom to Organized Storage course. I know, some of you are going, darn it, I wanted to do that course for free, or that course used to be free and I can't believe I didn't take advantage of it when it was free. From Hot Messroom to Organized Storage totally works. It will take any hot mess room, and it is step-by-step 28 days of how to go from I don't even know where to start to a beautifully organized storage room. And what I found over time when I think about Molly and what she needs is she needed the From Hot Mess Room to Organized Storage after she had already gotten her mindset around her paper and her home. And that this is an addition to the home and paper organizing program. It's not really a standalone program. You will pull in and you will do this one within your getting organized year. Also, the email organization course has been rewritten and re-recorded as well, and this will really help you organize all that digital papery type stuff. There are a couple other free bonuses in All Access. We have all of the color printables that I used to sell on Etsy. Those are over in All Access now. I do not have an Etsy store anymore. Also, the 10 Steps to Organized Move ebook is in there. And in the Hot Mess Room course, we had a great ebook that tells you where to donate, sell, and recycle everything. That email also is in All Access. So how does this work? Because Lisa, you used to say I could do the 100-day program and it was 15 minutes a day. And I did. And the reason I said that was because that's what you told me. You wanted an organization program that you could do, you know, in a short amount of time for a short amount of minutes. And I'm just not good at marketing. I'm not good at, like, if you do this 30 days and 5 minutes a day, you'll be a millionaire. Like, I'm a realist. I am practical. I am functional. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you really want to live an organized life, like you see me living on Instagram and being able to have a really bad day, but not take my whole world down because I have organization underneath me, it takes a year. It took me a year. The whole year I turned 40, I went through my house 3 different times that year and I finally got it organized. And I went from drowning to finally treading water and swimming in 1 year. You need to go through the 100-day program 3 times. That's why I've always had it as lifetime access. And when you do that, you naturally, you need a Sunday basket, and you naturally start organizing your papers. And when you don't buy all of the binders, what happens is you start to try to figure out how to organize your papers into binders or files or whatever. You spend more time figuring out alternative ways to organize than to just use the system that works. So I know that there are going to be A, people who cannot afford the program, and B, that people that don't want to do All Access and don't want to buy all in, and that's totally fine with me. I'm 100% okay with that. But I also know with the 1,000 people that have gone through it, that it works. It 100% works. So if you're ready to invest your time and your money into Organize 365, I know that if you give me 1 hour a day and 1 full year, we can give you an organized house and organized paper. I just know that it's true. And when I was at the national convention, I threw this out to everyone and I said, you know, the programs are not inexpensive. I mean, it's basically $500 for each program, or it's $9.97 for All Access. That's a lot of money. If you divide that out over a year, it's $3 a day. I'm not even going to get into coffee. We can't take away coffee, so forget that. It's $3 a day. But I asked the audience and I said, if you spend an hour a day and $3 a day, do you feel at the end of having done this for 1 year that you got back more than an hour a day and $3 a day? And unequivocally, they all said yes. So if you may say, I'm going to invest $1,000, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get that $1,000 back either in selling things in your house, or you're going to get it back by being able to do more of the work that you're normally paid for, or saving money by not rebuying things that you already have, or whatever. You're going to get that money back. And the hour a day, the national statistic is for Americans that we spend 55 minutes a day looking for things. So if you think that investing an hour a day in organizing your house, you don't have, you're already spending the time you don't have looking for things, forgetting things, running things back up to the kids' school because you forgot to send it because you didn't plan. It's not that we don't have the time. Of course, we don't have. Nobody has extra time. But what are the things in your life that you could give up to invest an hour so that you could get back an hour next year? And this is the game changer, you guys. When you really go all in and do All Access and you really decide, I'm done, I'm getting organized, I'm going to live an organized life, do you know what you get? Time. And they keep saying we can't buy time. But I'm going to tell you, if you get organized, you're basically buying time. I don't want to brag or anything, but there are a lot of days where I'm like, I wonder what I could do. And my poor team, what happens is I come up with a new program, like this kids program that I'm developing or whatever, because I have so much time because I don't spend any time organizing my house anymore. I just don't, because it's organized. Don't worry, it'll get unorganized again when I change phases of life. But right now it's organized. And the benefit I get from an organized house is time. So if you're thinking you don't have enough time, I want you to think about a year from now, if you don't do the All Access course, will you have more time? Because I will tell you, if you do it, you will. And everybody says you can't buy time. Okay, go to organize365.com. Now, hopefully you understand 100-day program, still the same basically. Complete Paper Program is all the stuff you've heard me coming out with over the last 18 months, but we finally organized it, condensed it, and put it into a program. And then All Access is both of those, plus the additional free bonuses. Enjoy!